so Jen and I sent this. Well, I can only speak for the DSD. But most of you, I can't really assume much domain knowledge when it comes to how DRM and specifically the memory management stuff actually works, so I'll probably just go through that quickly. Well, the whole point of DRM is that even when you were back when we were doing drivers in userland, you could not trust userland to mess around with interrupts, DMA. Yeah, it doesn't have the information, frankly, you don't want to give it to it. So the whole idea of the of DRM has always been as an arbitration layer to make sure that your DRI clients only have access to what they should and to make sure that it's all properly synchronized. In general, GEM is based on the idea of buffer objects, which is what is the common graphics API abstraction now. It's chunks of memory on the GPU, chunks of memory which are accessible by the GPU. And it works almost like the your buffer cache for your disk, but for graphics. And it has allocating and freeing your buffer objects. It has read, write, map, and of course you're doing execution of GPU commands, rendering to your buffers. So GEM in this case, it's quite heavily based around the idea of the on your GPUs, your various caches, you need to make sure that everything's coherent, otherwise your rendering doesn't get memory. And the whole idea of the GEM API was in order to properly deal with this. Now, the concepts are fairly similar across both Linux and BSD, but it's not a direct, it can't just be a direct copy and paste of code, because you have the case where, in this case, since you're dealing with managing memory, you're quite tied into the system's VM. So the Linux VM looks nothing like the OpenBSD VM, which is nothing like the previous VM. So you understand that most of the work here was trying to fit the concepts in with how our VM system works. So on Intel lists, on Linux, you use SHMFS objects for... SHMFS, so it's a chunk of pages, these are swappable. You need to, when you actually bind these to the GPU to do DMA, you have to pin the pages, make sure they don't swap, and make sure you flush every caches. We actually, on OpenBSD, did a similar thing. We have two types of VM objects. You have a nums, which are just for anonymous nmap, essentially malloc, and you have objects, which are things like nmap files, character devices, and there's also anonymous memory objects, which we use for system via shared memory. So in the case of GEM on OpenBSD, a GEM object is a VM object, but it's essentially a nice fancy wrapper around the anonymous memory objects. Where you have to manage everything, you need to manage the binding to and from, and it's tried to keep pretty much transparent. Now, we have to do a few things differently. On Linux, you have the, when you want to map things through the GTT, through the graphics.aperture, Linux manages a namespace on the main DRM file descriptor. Where you do nmap, you ask for an offset, and it says, okay, so now your object is this nmap offset from. We did the namespace per object. When you do the IO control, it just does a normal VM map of that object into your address space. Well, it actually works out quite a bit cleaner instead of having to do two calls every time you map. There are a few differences in semantics. I think the TTM actually does it the same way as I do, but on Intel, your mapping isn't coherent. You need to do synchronization before and after you do a mapping, because otherwise, if you're probably in the middle of exit or executing GPU commands, then you could just go to something then get a video written. Instead, when you execute something on OpenBSD, we remove the mappings for the pages, so next time you get it, you get a page fault. You then need to wait for the GPU to idle and map everything back in again. I also changed how we deal with the tiling bits. When you access the GPU, you have some good fence register, which makes the hardware tile go to and from color tiling itself. Used for some commands, but it's also very useful to get the hardware to detail for you. When Gem was first written, the Intel code didn't assume very much about tiling at all, so a few things like the read and write commands are untiled. So they made Misa has code to tile and detail manually. You hit a problem here, there's some memory configurations, I think on 945s. They tile based on something that isn't a page of bit 17, which isn't a page offset. So here you do a write where you do the tiling yourself. The kernel code then re-swizzles all of your pages to deal with bit 17 and writes again. This was essentially the straw that broke the camel's back and just changed the semantic completely. We do the tiling for you. Interface-wise, those are the only real changes we made. Now, when it comes to portability to other BSDs, I think NetBSD can pretty much almost copy and paste the code, since our VM has a common ancestor and the semantics are still very similar. FreeBSD, I think their VM is different, but I haven't looked at this for a time. People keep on asking me, so when's OpenBSD getting KMS? Mm-hmm. It's still going to be a while, yeah. It's having to do the interface. There's a few interface changes we need to do so, and the way this would fit in best is in a way that does not, which would break DRI-1. So I can't even look at KMS until both end up here and ready on DRM to do it. But other than that, not very much can change, because the DRM KMS interface is essentially RAND 1.3. There's not all that much flexibility in that.
Well, it changed a bit when they did the encoder connector split.
That wasn't used by Bismol though.
You did break all of them.
Just not in X.
Yeah, X, we mash it into something random looking, but the load setting APIs itself is still at all still, so you have a lot of power still to express the APIs directly.
We're actually setting the load as a parabolic for the kernel plus P is on itself.
We don't pass those in any kind of set, but you can still integrate them when you get the interruption. That's the main difference. At least internally, that makes a big difference in the implementation. On the kernel side,
The encoder connector layering seems to be like expressing it best, at least more than something.
Aside from where it doesn't work, which is all the pages.
How long does it work for radio actually? Don't you have like six different encoders now with Evergreen?
Yeah, we've got six CRTCs.
That's fun.
So you just enumerate six of them. Yeah.
How many do you like that one?
Six.
If we can't do a hot point, we have beat.
Anyways, the API is fixed. But I think you guys actually made a mistake where FBDev and DRM are completely separate. They occasionally wave at each other from across a crowded room. When it comes to, from a user perspective, the two things.
There's some, the KMS driver register and a feed driver and a console driver. and you can do some of the FB apples on that FB device that comes from the KMS stuff, but not all of them. I mean, we could do some more massaging there. And we could support more of them, but obviously, semantically, it's not for that because FB doesn't really know about multi-head.
What is the? I don't actually know what the FB net API is like.
It's just a bunch of optimals for like setting modes and changing colors and
doing lifts. Isn't there a bunch of acceleration crap in it?
There is acceleration code. It's not really exposed to user space, but the internal FB net API does have it for the console part. But otherwise, scrolling is all software is going to be bugs. It's awesome. But. But yeah, the user space emulation is not perfect. In particular, if you're setting API, you
actually want to know. Yeah, you'll get like, you know,
FB does say, if you have a mode, if it's DRM related, it'll say, this is your mode, or if you like it. And that's really where the emulation is going to fall down, because if you ask for something else, and now what are you applying it to? FB only has one output, so asking for your mode and you've got three heads connected, what do you do? And I can tell you what the X server does for that kind of case. So we've done about five that make that kind of work, but it's basically a subsetting operation that's failed a lot.
Cut off that stuff.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Oh, yeah. Trust. I would not. I don't know. So it kind of is just the right thing to do. You just say, well, this is all you've got. Don't try to do anything complicated through this emulation interface, because your emulation interface cannot possibly be correct.
When you have that, when you do that, do you have to keep lights up all outputs when you're in console mode? Or?
It tries.
It does try to, and it tries to find something that's relatively compatible with everything. But that ends up, I think, with the way it actually varies per driver right now. I think because that detail falls down that far. I think what ends up happening is, like, if I've got this screen and a 16x10 external monitor, then my frame buffer allocation ends up being 16x10, but the console is under the top left 13x7.
Okay.
And
you know, it tries to hop up too, so it's got that stupid 10-second pole in there. So if you plug in a monitor, that you can try and stretch out to the other screen, or plug over to the other screen. Okay.
We'd rather you didn't know.
But yeah, it's always, it's never what you want, the configuration for the FB con. Like, no matter what configuration you do, it's just like X default configuration, right? The default is like plug.
I was fairly sure it was still plugged.
Yeah, someone should do that. Yeah, I agree.
I think the FB emulation is a big bag. Yeah, you better off not trying.
Well, so the problem is that there's a lot of things that have FB dev drivers that don't have KMS in it.
Yeah,
hopefully.
That's what I'm saying. Leave those as the, you know, the best bang simple ones for, right, like embedded devices. With a single stream attached, they know exactly the platform configuration, it can't have to be complicated. And all they want to do is, you know, hit 10 registers and turn it into a school. They can just do the FBF. But I think the DRM trying to enter the FBF for that device node, as this will be the case, is we should just not try. It will just be a native console driver that isn't. The real reason why we have this is because we're reusing the console driver for FBF. So we should just use it to have a real console driver.
DRM console.
There's probably pros and cons of both approaches.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff probably assumes FBF, so if you rewrite everything, then.
Well, user space really doesn't, because historically FBF was a thing that really only, that didn't exist on, that typically wasn't there on X86 machines. because you needed it for other platforms in order to get a text console at all. x86 always came up with text mode, so we just assumed text mode. So you would only use, so turning on FBDev was something that you did as a power user that moved on x86. So user space generally doesn't believe one way or the other. You know, it's much more the case that you have to teach user space about FBDev, because then that means you're running a power PC. So we can pretty much just not try implementing FBDev. We can take that down.
I think I'm going to have to try around to see how well, because either way, I think that if you're going to use the drivers, then it should actually integrate at least somewhat. I've been looking at making it so that the DRM file descriptor is the same as the control file descriptor. You do a control switch into DRM mode. Just so everything's at least consistent, all in one place.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, is it this one?
I presume you need your console there.
Well, as long as you can massage it so that libDRM interface doesn't break, it should be okay.
Yeah. And the console layer is a bit more explicit about there being a console.
Yeah,
it's sort of this invisible thing on things.
I mean, yeah, anything better than the console layer. There are like four layers of stuff where you get to the drivers. And, yeah, it's really good. So, you could probably do something better than what we've done.
Well, the problem with doing it that way is it essentially breaks. You can't really do the nmap stuff that the original DRI does, which is why I need to remove DRI 1 first. Which is admittedly something that would give you a nice warm fuzzy feeling inside anyway.
Well, do you have to remove, what do you have DRI 1 support for?
We only ever enable Intel Radeon anyway.
Right.
So, but if you change the interface, you can't say, oh, well, Intel DRM uses the new attached to the console one, and the other one, yeah, is still a slack-end DRM. You need to switch them both, so it means I'm going to have to do Radeon mode memory management without the mode setting.
Oh.
And then when they're both on the new interface, you can then switch to start doing KMS. Which is why I have to start doing KMS, yeah.
Yeah, I still see code in our KMS drivers, but that's with the S area. It's just left over. I don't think it can actually work.
Pretty sure.
No. There are 2D drivers that might support it.
There's a bunch of stuff which I'm terrified that someone's ever once actually going to hit the code path and it's going to explode. Yeah, there's going to be bits everywhere, and it's going to be a mess.
Isn't that Chris? All the answer is stuff
that
you just believe.
Yeah.
And I think most of
the stuff. I've already removed the SA code, so it's only from the ARS side.
No, it's like in our setback case, for example, we have the S area, screen size. So,
obviously, it's position, I mean, something for business.
Allocates S area when you open the gear and the polish it.
Probably.
Yeah, so.
You can't know yet. Right, you can't. But when you go to open the DRM file server, you don't know what user space is affected at all.
And then it's in the
original file. So you have to check. This is a. Like, I'm removing that would mean that this would no longer run x86 4.1.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
No, no, no. You
guys have
the package capacity guarantees, I suppose.
Linus is a bit more picky about keeping old user space working. And
as you explicitly disable KMS, it's already broken.
Probably.
Try and run the UMS drive, Intel driver on top of Intel KMS.
Oh, well, that's, we know that doesn't work.
That would be crashing done.
Yeah, don't do that.
But that's... Yeah. But then you would have to have gone out of your way to load KMS drivers. So. If you had an older kernel config that you just ported straightforward, you wouldn't have had KMS enabled when you built a newer kernel. So you would have never really turned the KMS driver.
Oh, yeah, it's still explicit.
Whereas you guys you change the system call interface, and that means you have to rebuild libc every time. We don't. Like, we can we can run this. We have a really big skew between the minimum and maximum kernel geos versions we can run.
That's a good segue into the monolith versus the modular discussion. They build the whole world, they can change the APIs.
Yeah. Your libc SO version number is in the like 70s.
It's about 50.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just different. It's a different model.
Otherwise, that's mostly it. If anyone had anything they specifically want to know, I'm happy to answer anything.
No, that's a good question.
Brilliant.